Welcome to Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world, from the Minghui website. This week's top stories include Taiwan, November is a time to be thankful for our health and happiness. People learn from lawsuits against Jiang Zemin from posters displayed in public places. Melbourne, Australia, medical professionals urged to stop organ harvesting. Toronto, Canada, Falun Gong warmly received at area Santa Claus parades. Judge refuses to allow attorney to defend his Falun Gong practitioner clients. And imprisoned woman suffers lumbar compression fracture. Family suspects foul play. Now for the stories.
Taiwan. November is a time to be thankful for our health and happiness. November's Thanksgiving holiday is one of the most important traditions celebrated in the United States. For hundreds of thousands of Falun Gong practitioners in Taiwan, November also marks the special occasions when Mr. Li Hongzhi, the founder of Falun Gong, visited Taiwan and gave lectures in November 1997. Lei Qin from northeastern Taiwan started practicing Falun Gong in June 1994. She said, "I went to Master Li's lectures in Jinan, Shandong province. Within several days, many illnesses which had bothered me for more than two decades disappeared." She also recalled her experiences of going to the lectures in 1997. The first Falun Gong practice site in Taiwan was established in April 1995. Another practitioner said by 1997, 5 years after Falun Gong was introduced in mainland China, there were only about 35 such practice sites, and there were minimal connections between them. The number of practitioners surged after Master Li's visit. Nowadays, there are over 1,000 group practice sites covering almost every town in Taiwan, with hundreds of thousands of practitioners from all walks of life. Lectures in Taipei and Taichung. Master Li gave a lecture at an elementary school in Taipei during his visit in 1997. And at a vocational school in Taichung, the third largest city on the island. The two lectures spanned about 10 hours in total, with an attendance of around 2,000. A retired teacher said that more than half of the attendees were relatives or friends of practitioners. She recalled, after witnessing the positive changes of practitioners and listening to lectures given by Master Li, they realized that Falun Gong was extraordinary. Most became practitioners afterwards. Teacher's Compassion. Retired tailor Mr. Lin started practicing Falun Gong in May 1997. He said, "Shortly afterward, my joint pain, neck stiffness, and other discomfort disappeared." He quit smoking and no longer needed medication that he had been taking for over 40 years. As his physical improvements continued, dark hair began to grow on his bald head. Lin Chongqi, who works in a plastics factory, said she started practicing Falun Gong about 6 months before the lectures. She said, "I remember Master Li's eyes were brimming with radiant energy. I was sitting in the back, but his eyes seemed to cover the entire auditorium, bathing us in brightness and compassion." Character formations. Falun Gong is now practiced in more than 100 nations by over 100 million practitioners. The main book of teachings, Juan Falun, has been translated into more than 30 languages according to the falundava.org website. Practitioners of Falun Gong in Taiwan have not only improved their bodies and minds, but have also benefited society. Practitioners have become more responsible at work and as members of society. This has earned them high respect and countless rewards.
People learn of lawsuits against Jiang Zemin from posters displayed in public places. Posters about Falun Gong and the charges that a multitude of Chinese citizens have brought against Jiang Zemin have recently appeared along busy roads, on public bulletin boards, at bus stops, and in numerous other public spaces in the cities of Changchun and Yitong. Both cities are in China's northeastern province of Jilin. The posters were produced by local Falun Gong practitioners. With limited resources and a high risk of arrest for producing such materials, the posters appear to have been produced on home-based printers, with 16 pages of paper put together to make each one. Jiang Zemin, former head of the Chinese Communist Party, initiated the persecution of Falun Gong on July 20, 1999, and created the 610 office, giving it the power to override the police and judicial system to carry out his persecution policy. Over the past 16 years, more than 3,800 Falun Gong practitioners have been confirmed to have died as a direct result of the persecution. The actual toll is likely much higher because such information is tightly censored in China. Some estimates put the likely death toll at over 1 million. As the persecution has dragged on for 16 years, Falun Gong practitioners seek creative ways to inform people about Falun Gong and expose the brutal persecution. Despite risk of arrest, practitioners hang banners and posters to raise awareness of the goodness of Falun Gong and the brutality of the persecution. The posters most recently appearing inform the public about the charges brought against Jiang Zemin as the ringleader of the persecution of Falun Gong. Under his influence, countless Chinese citizens have been unlawfully imprisoned, deprived of their constitutional right to freedom of belief, subjected to brutalities and abuse of power, and suffered innumerable instances of torture, abuse, organ harvesting, and even death.
Melbourne, Australia, medical professionals urged to stop forced organ harvesting. During a meeting of the Transplant Society in Melbourne, Australia, on November 15th through the 19th, Falun Gong practitioners told many attendees about forced organ harvesting from detained practitioners in China. Many medical professionals condemned the unethical practice and called for an end to the brutality. About 600 medical experts from 9 countries attended the conference. Many meeting attendees and passers-by read the banners and literature the practitioners were distributing and signed petitions of support. Those involved should be held responsible. Dr. McGregor said that many meeting participants had already heard about the forced organ harvesting in China. "I don't know if the world knows, but most people involved in this area of research and clinical activity have become aware of it in the last few years. And of course, it's very disturbing." He said nobody at this conference would support this kind of activity for whatever reason. "We live in a society that values freedom of belief. Most of us believe it is a cornerstone of a just society." He said that anyone involved in it should be held responsible. "There should be norms and agreed-upon behaviors for people in the medical profession in any country so that those who breach the accepted standards of the profession are no longer permitted to practice their profession. We live in a society that values freedom of belief. Most of us believe it is a cornerstone of just society." He said it was important to educate the public about this. More effort needed to stop the atrocity. Dr. McGregor said it was important to let government officials know about it. "Awareness is a good start, and raising the awareness does reach the politicians. When politicians have discussions with other countries, they can raise their concerns. I think the UK and Australian governments would be very supportive of basic human rights of people everywhere." He said such government officials would be against such a brutal practice. He emphasized that everyone he knows, both at this conference and at most transplant conferences, is deeply troubled by this whole issue. "It's not something that is arguable. It's just simply something that should not occur. Time to end this state-sanctioned practice." Tom Kaye, chairperson of the conference, said that the transplantation community, including the attending organizations, has been paying attention to the issue. He said that when the organs are obtained illegally, the Australian government needs to step in too. Transplantation surgeon Kyo Won Lee specializes in liver, kidney, and pancreas transplants. He said forced organ harvesting is unethical. Chinese doctors should stop. It is unethical. They should stop doing it. Transplant expert William Millay said that involuntary organ harvesting anywhere in the world should be opposed. "I think that any unethical harvesting of organs should be banned." Dong Sik Ham, A professor who studies transplantation in South Korea agreed. He said organs should never be harvested without the donor's consent. We have strict laws about this in South Korea. Had this happened in South Korea, he explained, all the medical professionals involved would end up in prison.
Toronto, Canada. Falun Gong warmly received at area Santa Claus parades. Fantastic, very impressive, exclaimed John, a coordinator for the Santa Claus parade in Georgetown, Ontario, commenting on the performance of the Toronto Divine Land Marching Band. Many other parade organizers throughout North America share the same view, which is why the band is invited back year after year. Following the November 14th Santa Claus parades in Niagara Falls and London, the Toronto Divine Land Marching Band, composed entirely of Falun Gong practitioners, received invitations from four other cities for November 21st parades. Unable to participate in four parades in one day, the band went to two cities, Hamilton and Georgetown, while the Toronto Waist Drum Team, also composed of Falun Gong practitioners, went to Kitchener and Brampton, Ontario. We invite them every year because they are so well received. I'm always very glad to see them coming, said the band coordinator for the Santa Claus Parade in Hamilton, speaking of the Divine Land Marching Band. We've invited them for the past several years because they are so well received. John, a coordinator for the Georgetown Santa Claus Parade, said, this is the first time we've invited the Toronto Divine Land Marching Band to participate in our Santa Claus Parade. We saw videos of their performances online. Very impressive. Now that we see them live, they are indeed fantastic and very impressive. We hope they will come every year. They are the best. Awesome, excellent, good job, very, very nice, exclaimed Mark, a Georgetown resident, as he talked about the Divine Land Marching Band with a reporter. I know about Falun Gong. They don't have freedom and are being persecuted in China, he continued. It's good that they come to different communities to display their good demeanor this way, showing people what kind of people they are, and that they are living a wonderful life everywhere around the world but China. They are striving for human rights in China. Mark added, they are doing a good job. I support their efforts to work for human rights and freedom. Chinese spectators glad to see Falun Gong. Among the Chinese parade spectators, some already knew about Falun Gong and the persecution because they have family members and friends who practice Falun Gong in China. They were excited to see the practitioners marching in the parades. Wonderful, wonderful, several kept saying. They were also eager to take informational materials from practitioners to learn more about the practice. A number of Chinese spectators had an opportunity to talk to practitioners and learn about the brutal persecution of Falun Gong by the Chinese Communist Party. Many renounced their memberships in the party and its affiliated organizations.
Judge refuses to allow attorney to defend his Falun Gong practitioner clients. A judge in Qichihua, Heilongjiang Province, refused to allow a lawyer to defend his clients after he repeatedly protested the admission of evidence obtained through torture. Although a judge cannot keep a lawyer from defending his or her client according to Chinese law, such a practice is commonplace in cases involving Falun Gong practitioners. Ms. Yu and Ms. Yang were arrested in May for telling people about the persecution of Falun Gong, and they were both tortured by detention center guards. Ms. Yu once had her hands cuffed behind her back for 2 straight days and her feet shackled for 2 weeks. Ms. Yang was beaten for refusing to wear an inmate uniform in the detention center. Her face swelled up and her jaw was dislocated. During the trial on November 3rd, Judge Liu of the Fuliajiri District Court ignored the defense's request to reconsider evidence presented by the prosecution and eventually ordered the removal of one of the lawyers. Judge sidesteps evidence of torture. As she entered the courtroom, Ms. Yu showed those present the deep scars on her wrists from being handcuffed. Her lawyers, who already knew about her being tortured, asked that her injuries be examined in court. The judge denied the request. The judge also refused the lawyer's request to question Ms. Yu regarding her injuries and how the police had interrogated her. Mr. Wang Li, one of the defense lawyers, repeatedly asked the judge to exclude any evidence obtained through torture. Each time, the judge stopped him from speaking. Lawyer escorted out of courtroom. Mr. Wang continued his defense, saying, "The court is violating criminal law by ignoring the issue of illegal evidence." "You are not allowed to mention criminal law," retorted the judge. Mr. Wang objected. "That is against the Constitution." "You are not allowed to mention the Constitution," the judge declared. Mr. Wang protested, stating that he was simply exercising his legal right to defend his clients. In presenting his defense argument, he said, "Freedom of religion is a basic human right guaranteed by the Universal Declaration of Human Rights." That prompted the judge to yell at Mr. Wang, "I am taking you off this case as of now." He then ordered the bailiff to escort Mr. Wang out of the courtroom. The trial continued with defense lawyer Ms. Liu taking over. She argued that there is no law that criminalizes Falun Gong. Both practitioners made statements at the end of trial, asserting their innocence. The trial ended without a verdict.
Imprisoned woman suffers lumbar compression fracture. Family suspects foul play. A woman suffered lumbar compression fractures while in police custody after being arrested for distributing materials that exposed the persecution of Falun Gong. The detention center claimed that Ms. Wan Fulan took a fall, but her family suspects torture. According to an orthopedic doctor the family consulted, a simple fall normally wouldn't lead to a collapsed first vertebrae. Fractures such as Ms. Wan's are oftentimes a result of trauma applied to the vertebral body. Ms. Wan's family asked to see the surveillance videos, but were turned away by the detention center. They were also not allowed to visit her in the police hospital. When Ms. Wan's lawyer visited her recently, she pleaded with him, "Please ask my family to get me out of here." Unable to move by herself, she was shackled all day long. Her hospital room had barbed-wired windows and was guarded by the police around the clock. Ms. Wan's family is extremely worried about her. The orthopedic doctor warned that she may suffer long-lasting complications without appropriate medical care. According to the lawyer who visited Ms. Wan on October 5, 2015, he waited for the head of the detention center to show up for hours before he was allowed to meet with Ms. Wan. She was perfectly healthy when she was arrested 2 months prior. The two-hour visitation was monitored by the head of the detention center and police. With the police present, Ms. Wan was too scared to tell the lawyer anything about what happened to her during the two-month detention. Ms. Wan's doctor told her that she had developed severe heart and stomach problems after she sustained the back injury and could only take liquid food at the moment. "Her situation is critical and she may suffer from cardiogenic shock at any time," her doctor said. Ms. Wan, 70, was arrested by police officers while distributing informational materials about the persecution of Falun Gong on September 2, 2015. Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.